All right, well, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 for the message this morning. I read the book of Acts often, try to read a little bit of it every day, don't always succeed, but try to read a little bit of it every day. I just love the book of Acts. And there are so many great truths in the book of Acts. And there's a verse that I saw this week as I was reading. And I noticed a little something about that verse, and I thought, wow, look at there. So that's where the message came from for this morning. I'll begin reading, please, in verse 31. And the Bible says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common." So they're trying to help one another. All right. Verse 33. "And with great power," this is my text verse now, watch this. "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Now, I want you to see something here. There are two greats in one verse. All right, great power and great grace. And I want to speak to you this morning, two greats in one verse. Let's pray together. And in the message. Heavenly Father, thank you now for this time together, that we might open the eternal word of the living God and preach from it today. Thank you for the music. Thank you that our hearts are now before you. And Father, we are prepared and listening to your word. And I pray that you will bless it in a great way. I want to thank you so much for each and every person who has come today. And I pray you'll bless each one. And Father, may we leave here this morning rejoicing in your goodness and in your blessing. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. This fourth chapter is just full of some of the wonderful, wonderful things that happened in the very early days of the New Testament church. We see a clear and powerful message that was preached by the Apostle Peter in the first part of this chapter. One of the most powerful verses in the New Testament can be found. And that verse is verse 12. I love that verse. Man, what a great truth verse 12 gives us. Look at it, please. Verse 12, Peter said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we," what's the next word? Must be saved. Powerful verse. Man, I've used that verse so many times through the years, and it's one of my favorite verses. I just can't get enough of it. Well, the sermon that Peter preached got him and John in a great deal of trouble. Peter and John were simply following through with obeying the great commission that was given to them by the Lord Jesus just a few weeks earlier, a month and a half or so earlier, when the Lord said to them as they were on the Mount of Olives just before he ascended to glory, And Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so when they did start to preach the gospel, that's when the opposition came. I want you to, and I noticed this recently as well. I want you to look, please, at verse 18. In verse 18, the Bible says that the authorities called them, Peter and John, and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. All right, kind of sounds like 2022, doesn't it? All right. Verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, well, you judge that. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And so they basically told the authorities to go pound sand because they were going to do what the Lord called them to do. And that's what they did. That's what they did. But now I want you to notice, the Lord Jesus said in the Great Commission, which is found in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, but also in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord Jesus told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So Jesus said, go, but in verse 18, you see the devil's great commission. And Satan says, no, you can't go and preach. So what are we going to do? Well, Peter and John said, we're going to do what the Lord told us to do. Now, I think it's interesting. I mean, it's just amazing to me how when they were told they could not preach, and if you do, we're going to lock you up. Well, that was not a problem for God. God just unlocked the gates and let them out. All right? Not a problem. So if we obey God and trust God, God's going to bless if we just obey Him. That's not the sermon. That was just free. All right, but notice Peter and John said, verse 20, we cannot help but preach the things, but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Now, in verse 31, they prayed when they got back with all the rest of them, they prayed and the power of God fell upon them in an amazing way. The building where they were praying in began to shake. The Holy Spirit of God fell upon them and gave them even greater boldness to preach the word of the Lord. Can you imagine having so much power from God and with God that even the place where you were gathered and were praying shook from the Holy Spirit of God grabbing a hold of it and shaking it? Wow. That's power, folks. That's power with God. Now, just imagine the unity of heart. Just imagine the oneness they all felt. Just imagine the spirit of togetherness that drove their every move. In verse 32, we learn that the entire group were of one heart and of one soul. They experienced this same thing in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, if you remember. And the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and they were given great boldness, and they went out to preach at the temple, and 3,000 people received Christ as their Savior. And now here they are again. I don't know how much longer, probably just not too long after Pentecost. And here they are again, the whole group, and they are still of one heart and one soul, and they are still preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are still being blessed beyond measure. Wow, what a testimony this is. And that brings me to the verse that I want to preach from this morning. In verse 33, we learn that there are two greats that are used to describe the work and its impact upon the apostles and upon the community. And I want you to see, first of all, that the apostles had great power. Boy, we need great power, don't we? We need the power of God at work as we win souls and as we preach the word and as we teach our Sunday school class and as we run our bus route. We need the power of God going before us so that we're not just trying to do everything in our own might and strength. And then we learn that they had great power as they preached the message of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, Pastor, why would they preach the message of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, let me read you a verse of Scripture. I'm sure you're all familiar with it, but it's in the book of Romans, chapter 10 and verse 9. And the Bible says here that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath what? Raised him from the dead. The resurrection. You see, Paul said in another place that the Lord Jesus went to the cross, that on the cross he gave his life for us. He said it this way, that the Lord Jesus was delivered for our offenses, but he was raised again for our justification. You see, it's the power of the resurrection that gives the Lord Jesus the power to save us from our sin when we believe him. All right, so they preached and had great power as they preached the message of the resurrection of Christ. But then secondly, as they went to preach this wonderful message of the gospel of Christ, we learned that great grace was upon them all. All right, now I want us to look at these two things found in this verse, which means that I have 2 points this morning. All right, everybody got that? 2 points. Great power, great grace. All right, now, on the first one, I have 3 things underneath it I want you to see. On the second one, I only got 2. So we'll be winding down, all right? When I get to 2, you know we're almost done, okay? So nobody go to sleep before I get done, okay? All right, first, I want you, nobody goes to sleep. First, the apostles had great power. Oh, notice this now, folks. The apostles had great power. Let me read the verse to you again. It says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is what they had. And this is definitely what we need today. You see, the great power that was given to them to preach the gospel in that day is the same power that we depend on today as we preach the word of God. Great power. And notice that this power was upon all the apostles, all of those who were doing the preaching and the soul winning. I want you to see 3 things about this great power that fell upon the apostles. All right, number 1, I want you to notice the preference for this power. You see, our world today is acquainted with all kinds of power. There's electric power. There is nuclear power. There is coal power. There is hydroelectric power. There is horse power, I guess, and donkey power, mule power, I don't know. Even political power. But the greatest power available to man is spiritual power. And I want to explain to you why. You see, if I had a preference as to which kind of power I could have, well, I would have the spiritual power any day of the week. Now, I could come in here and wire all the seats. You know, get me a little amen button up here. And when I think you ought to say amen, just hit the button, amen. You know, that would be all right. But that really wouldn't get us anywhere, would it? No, we need that spiritual power, folks. We need that spiritual power. The power of God is superior to every other kind of power in the world today. And sadly, the world knows nothing about this great power. We can do a lot of things with electric power, and we can do a lot of things with coal power and all the rest. But spiritual power can do greater things than any other kind of power that is available to man today. The church needs great power, spiritually speaking. The church today can do more with spiritual great power than it can with any other kind of power. Somebody comes into the service and the Word of God is preached, and it is the power of the Holy Spirit upon the preached Word that speaks to the heart of a sinner and draws that sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? That's what that power is for. Several years ago, I was pastoring out in Joliet, Illinois at the time, and a church down in Charlotte area of North Carolina invited me to come and preach a week-long revival in their church, and I agreed to do so. And so when I got there, the pastor was all excited. And he said, "Preacher, we have been having prayer meetings in people's homes. We have printed invitations. We have gone above and beyond to promote this meeting." And I said, "Wow, that's awesome. I'm so thankful for that." He said, "Pastor, I think we're going to have a record crowd tomorrow." And boy, sure enough, we did. Amen. We got in there that morning and there was not a seat to be found. The pastor stood there while we were singing and tears were streaming down his cheeks. He said, "I've never seen my church this full." He said, "I've never sensed the presence of God as much as I'm sensing the presence of God in my church this morning." I preached that morning out of the book of Job, a message entitled, "How Can a Man Be Justified with God?" How can a man be justified with God? And it was primarily a salvation message. Now, this church, full of people, and such a great spirit, and the music was just out the top, prepared everybody's heart for what for the preaching of the word. And when I gave the invitation, there were three aisles. There was one on the outside, one on this outside, and one down the middle. And when I gave the invitation, there were many hands that were raised, the folks that needed to be saved. And so I prayed for them, asked them to come. And when I gave the invitation, down all three aisles they came. Now, I don't guess they were used to that, because nobody moved to help deal with these people who came forward. They just all kind of came forward and stood there looking at one another. And the pastor was dealing with the first couple that walked down, a husband and a wife. And right behind the husband and a wife was a man. And so I wasn't doing anything. I was just standing in the pulpit, you know, giving the invitation. So I walked down and I took the man by the hand and kind of walked him over to the side. And I said, sir, I want to help you. I said, how can I help you? He said, I don't know. I said, what do you mean you don't know? He said, I don't know. I said, well, you came forward. Do you know why you came forward? No. He said, I really don't know. I said, what do you mean you don't know? You have to know. He said, no, I don't know. I said, well, you're going to have to explain that to me. He said, well, I was sitting back here, second row from the back, right on the aisle. And he said, I heard every word you said. And I stood there and I thought to myself, you know, I need to get saved. One of these days I'm going to die and I'm going to go to hell if I don't get saved. I said, yep. I said, yeah, that's correct. I said, so did you come to get saved? He said, I think I did. I said, well, that's wonderful. Sit down right here. So I sat down with him, showed him how to receive Christ as his Savior. And he prayed and received the Lord as his Savior. Amen. It was awesome. I mean, it was awesome. And I looked over at him after we prayed, and I said, let me get one of these little slips filled out on you. And so I picked up one of their little decision cards, and I asked him his name, and he gave it to me, and his address, and he gave it to me. And then he looked over at me, and he said, you know, it's weird. And I said, what's weird? He said, well, when you said if anybody needs to be saved, step out into the aisle and come forward. He said, I said, well, what's weird about that? He said, well, what's weird was I just kept saying to myself over and over, I'm not going to come forward in front of all these people. I said, but you knew you wanted to get saved, right? He said, I did. I said, well, then why did you come? He said, well, I was standing back there, and just all of a sudden, he said, I don't know what it was. I was out in the aisle. And I said, well, you know, come to think of it, I did see you out there going like this. He was looking around like, what in the world am I doing out here? And he said, before I could even think, I'm walking down to the front. And I said, sir, do you know what that was? He said, no. I said, that was the power of God nudging you toward the Savior. And he said, well, I'm sure glad I did it. I said, yes, sir. I've never met anybody who got saved and then they were disappointed. And so he said, well, I'm telling you, I'm excited about it. Folks, let me tell you something. There is nothing greater than the power of God at work in a church. Amen. Nothing greater than that. Where lives are changed and where eternity is changed and where families are changed and where lifestyles are changed. I mean, the Lord Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, can move on your heart and on my heart, and God Almighty can do something that no other power can do. Nothing else can accomplish what the power of the Holy Spirit can accomplish. Now, that great doctrine of power, that power, listen to me, it's doctrinally sound. Don't forget that. It's doctrinally sound. You know, you see a lot of wildfire today, don't you? You know? It's not Holy Spirit fire, it's wildfire. You say, how do you know that? Because it doesn't line up with the book. Amen. Amen. More than one of you should have said amen right there. Exactly. You see, I've told you since I've been here, if you want to find out if a stick is crooked, you lay a straight stick down beside of it. And right here is the straight stick. Great power is doctrinally sound. If it's not doctrinally sound, the great power is not coming from the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is never going to empower something that is unscriptural. Listen, folks, I don't mind you saying amen. I wish more of you would say amen. I don't mind you shouting if the Spirit of God lays it upon your heart to let out a shout. I don't mind you saying glory to God or hallelujah or praise the Lord. I don't mind that at all. I don't mind you jumping straight up in the air. But when your feet hit the floor, I want you to speak English to me. Amen. Amen. There's been a couple of times where I've been in a service. One in particular comes to mind when I was baptizing the daughter of a charismatic preacher. She came to our church and got saved. Oh, he didn't like that either. He was mad at me. He didn't know that I knew, but he called me the Antichrist. Yeah, that Antichrist preacher down there. And she got saved. Well, when you get saved, you follow the Lord and believers baptism. So it was baptism night. And here come all of them. All of them. So I preached a message, gave the invitation. And when I gave the invitation, another person in that family, a teenage boy, he stepped out and came to get saved. And then another one stepped out and came down to get right with God. Was already saved, but just to get her heart right with the Lord. Well, when that happened, they all had a spell. I'm fine with that. I'm fine. I don't have a problem with that. If you want to say amen, go at it. Go at it. I had a shouting amen church down in West Virginia. And I used to just have to quit preaching and let them shout. Wasn't no use trying to preach over them. I could not do it, even with this old loud mouth. So I would just stop preaching and let them shout. And they'd wind down and I'd start preaching again. And many a time they'd crank it up again. And I'd stop and let them wind down. I'm not against that at all. I think I have no problem with that. I don't think the Bible has a problem with that. But these folks, they started shouting, and I was fine with the shouting. I was fine with the amens and the praise the Lord's. I have no problem with you lifting your hand and holding it up in the air. I don't have a problem with that. Bible says lift holy hands to the Lord. I don't have a problem with that. But here's what happened. One of them who was she was the in-line matriarch. All right, she was not the matriarch, but she was the next in line to be the matriarch of the family. The high priestess, if you will. And she jumped out in the aisle and she started speaking something. I didn't know what it was. And everybody in my church turned around. And I was standing about this far from the pulpit in the aisle. And I said, "Hey, hey." Well, everything stopped, as you can imagine. "Hey, get in there and sit down." You know what she did? She got in there and sat down. Now, look here, folks. If that was scriptural, she would not have gotten in there and sat down. Well, that's going to get the cards and letters coming, isn't it? It's got to be doctrinally sound, folks. You see, you can check the genuineness of spiritual power by its doctrine. By its doctrine. And then thirdly, I want you to notice the purpose of this great power. Look at your verse. It says, "And with great power gave the apostles," what's the next word? Witness. Why does the Holy Spirit of God give great power to his own? I'll tell you why. So we can witness the resurrection of Jesus Christ to others. So we can tell others. You see, seeking this great power selfishly is the best way to never attain it. And when God calls us to do something great for him, he will give us great power so that we can do that great task. The purpose of the great power is to accomplish the great task of witnessing to others. I think I told you all the first time that I went to the Philippines, Pastor Stainer and David Wood and me, and there were a couple other preachers that joined up with us and went. And when we got there, the next morning, I got on an airplane in Manila, and I flew down to where Edgar Nono pastors down in what's the name of that place? Bacolod City? Yeah, something like that. Way south, 2 hours by plane on south. And so I got there, about 5 p.m. Man, I was exhausted, jet-lagged as I could be. And so he took me over to the motel where we were staying, checked me in. I went to sleep, and then got up the next morning, and he picked me up, took me over to his church, and I preached 6 times on that Sunday. 6 times. The amazing thing was I preached to a full church. Each 6 times. They did not go home. They just did not go home. And so after the 4th message, I was sitting in the choir loft, and he's speaking in his native tongue, and they're all laughing. And then he'd turn around and look at me, and he'd look back and say something in his native tongue, and then they'd all laugh, and he'd turn around and look at me. And I said, "What? What are you doing?" He said, "They want to know if you'll preach again." Wow. So at 8 o'clock, I preached my 6th sermon that day. 8 o'clock. It's a good thing I took a whole notebook full of sermons. And so he finally took me home, back to my room. And as he dropped me off, he said, "I'll get you at 5. I said, "You talking about tomorrow evening? You'll pick me up at 5 for church?" "No, in the morning." 5 in the morning? He said, did you come over here to serve the Lord or sleep? I said, yeah. I said, well, you better have a cup of coffee as big as this car. I can tell you that. And so he came to get me. I walked out at 10 minutes till 5, and there he was, standing there with a big old tall cup of McDonald's coffee that did not taste like McDonald's coffee. I think he just stole the cup somewhere and filled it full of mud, if you want my personal opinion. And he said, now, you might as well just kick back because we're going to be on the road for a little while. And we got out of town, and he said, see way down there, see that volcano? I said, yeah. He said, that's where we're going. I said, good night. So I leaned back and went to sleep. And when we got there, he woke me up. He said, hey, we're here. And I raised the seat up, and I looked around. Here were all these high school, looked like high school, junior high school kids. And they were all walking in the same direction, going to school. And I said, what are we doing? He said, you're going to preach to all these kids. Amen. And I said, well, how many of them? He said, about 1,200. I said, that's awesome. He said, yeah. I said, you can't do this in America. He said, you're not in America. You're in the Philippines, and you can do that here. I said, okay. And so we went in, and all the kids, it was an outdoor assembly, you know, they assembled, like, you know, to make sure everybody was there. They were all lined up. Seniors over here, juniors here, sophomores here, freshmen over here, 1,200 of them, and all the teachers. And I'm standing there looking at all of them, and the principal gets up, and they do the pledge to their flag, and they sang this little song. I don't know what it was. I didn't recognize it. And I'm standing there with Brother Edgar. And Edgar says, just give them the gospel. I said, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to preach, aren't I? I'm a zombie, folks. I mean, jet lagged, get up at 5 o'clock, you know, just a cup of coffee, no breakfast, just a cup of coffee, a big cup of coffee. So I'm shaking out of my skin. And so I'm standing there, and he says, I want to introduce to you, this is Pastor Norris Belcher from Westminster, Maryland. Said, he has come all the way over here to tell you something very important. And I thought, okay, Lord, I have no idea what I'm going to say. So you're going to have to do something here. And he said, Doc, come and preach for us. So I walked over and I took that microphone and I turned around and I looked out at all those kids. And I could just feel something in me snap. Man, all of a sudden, I was alert. My mind was sharp. It was fresh. I looked out at all those kids, and I said, good morning. They all said, good morning, Pastor. I said, oh, it's good to be here. I'm so excited. Let me tell you a story. I said, this is the greatest story you'll ever hear in your life. And I talked about how God created the heaven and the earth. I mean, I started all the way back in Genesis and brought them forward through the end of the Gospels. Those kids were standing there, their eyes this big. They were hanging on every word. I gave the invitation and I said, if you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, raise your hand. Every one of them raised their hand. They weren't sure they were saved. I said, if you'd like to be saved, raise your hand. They all raised their hand. Amen. I said, all right, here's what we're going to do. And I led them through the sinner's prayer. Led them through the sinner's prayer. And I said, now how many of you believe the Lord Jesus died for you and he's your Savior now? Raise your hand. They all raised their hand. I turned around and looked at Edgar. I'd never seen anything like that. 1,200. That's almost half of Pentecost in 20 minutes. Edgar's bawling his eyes out. He's standing over there just bawling his eyes out. And he comes running over and he said, have them put their name and address and phone number on a piece of paper and pass them all forward. So I said, all right, everybody take a piece of paper, write your name, your address, pass it forward, and your phone number. Pass it forward. And so you hear paper ripping. Everybody's, you know, everybody's complying. And they laid them all on the platform. Brother Edgar went over and scooped them all up in a bag. 2 weeks later, he sent some of his preacher boys from his college down to start a church in that town. And everybody in there was under 18. I ask him, every time he comes over here, I ask him, I say, brother, how's that church doing? Oh, man, they're doing great. They're doing great, he'll say. Amen. Folks, that's the power of God helping you. It sure wasn't me. I was so tired, I couldn't hold my head up. But when you start talking about Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God is going to help you. All right, that's point one. That's the power. And we're out of time. I might do the rest tonight. I might do the rest tonight. Folks, this is what we need. This is what we need. You know, get God in on what we're doing. This is what we need. I need it. You need it. You need it for your Sunday school class. You need it for your bus route. You need it for your choir. You need it. I need it. We all need it. Amen. The power, great power was upon them. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, thank you now for your wonderful word. And I pray that you will bless this to our hearts today. We are so thankful that the Holy Spirit of God that gave great power to the apostles in the early days of the New Testament church is the same Holy Spirit that is in us today. And so, Father, I ask you to give great power as we serve you here, as we run our buses, as we sing in the choir and play in the orchestra, as we teach our Sunday school class, as we have our youth meetings and our Super 60s meetings, Father, great power is needed. So I pray that you will speak to our hearts today in a great way. And may the Lord Jesus be honored in our decisions today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.